Welcome back to the Physician Syndicate Podcast, episode 2 of Ronak and I shooting the shit, or maybe we'll call this STS.
There we go.
All right. So, background. Ronak and I just got off of a pitch where we had a founder, really interesting company doing really interesting things that has a lot of traction. I have my own hot take about whether or not I would invest personally. But let's give a little bit of background about this company. So we're not going to tell what the name is. We're going to try to make it as basically impossible for you guys to figure out who the company actually is. And we'll cut some things out of this podcast if we need to. So the founder is a multi-time founder, multi-exit founder, which is great. What that means is basically he or she has started multiple companies with successful exits, meaning he sold the company to somebody else, exiting the company, having a liquidation event, meaning he has paid his investors back and he has made some money off of that sale. The company is a few years old. It's a data company with real revenue. So the revenue has grown year over year, about 50% each year. Slowing down a little bit, but we'll say the revenue for this calendar year is going to be somewhere between $10 and $20 million. We'll say that, which is amazing for a startup founder. It's amazing for a potential investment that you're looking to make. Evaluation is also extremely reasonable. We'll say it's between 3 and 7x his revenue, which is for this market, extremely acceptable. It's kind of what the public markets are paying for these types of companies. Raising around $2.5-3 million, let's say. Just a little bit left in the round, meaning, you know, if we're going to invest, we're going to have to make a decision pretty quickly. We're going to have to figure out exactly how much we're going to put in. For me, my hot take is I wouldn't invest. Why? Exit strategy. That was my big takeaway from this meeting, was the guy has amazing revenue numbers. Like, honestly, the best revenue numbers I've seen for a company at that stage. There's a little bit of question about, you know, profitability, cash flow positive some months, some not. But the big issue for me was the exit conversation that we had, which was, you know, if we invest, his goal is really a 5x return-ish on that investment, which for me, I'm not investing in startups. I'm not going to put capital into a company that I don't think can potentially have a gigantic exit, meaning like a 5x multiple. It's good. It's great. It's fine. It's something that you're going to see likely in your startups. But to start out, I don't want to think about an investment as top line being a 5x multiple on the investment. It's not why I'm doing this. You know, I just put in an investment. I'll say another investment I just did. I put a relatively large check for myself into a company that I think can get a 500x, right? Like, that's the goal when you're investing into these companies. It's a high risk investment no matter what. And if it is not a high reward on the other side, to me, that was the turning point in the conversation. What about you, Ronak? What are your thoughts?
I think you're bringing up something really interesting here, Greg. So I think this comes back to the vision for an entrepreneur, right? Like, what are they really trying to build? And when you look at some of the largest companies out there, let's take, for example, Procter & Gamble. They own hundreds of different consumer packaged good companies, and they've built a giant business that's well-diversified, and they just want to be in all aspects of the home goods section, right? So this company that we were talking to, like you mentioned, they have really good traction. They have an interesting product, but there wasn't much vision beyond that. The size that this one product could get to is reasonable. It still would be like a fantastic exit for the founders, for the team itself. Like, it's not a bad game plan that they're going after by any stretch of the imagination. But as an angel investor, what is our goal and what is the vision of the entrepreneur? Honestly, I just didn't think the vision was all that grand. Right? Like, they clearly have other competitors in this space that are significantly bigger. And this entrepreneur did not have the vision to say that, like, okay, we're starting with this one product, and then here's follow-up product number 2, 3, 4, 5. And this is how we're going to compete with the billion plus dollar companies. And we're actually going to take a huge chunk of their market share and be seen just as equivalent as some of these much larger companies. So it just wasn't a very, very inspirational game plan that this entrepreneur had.
Yeah, totally agree. And actually, that's a great kind of conversation to have, right? Is the outcome for the founder versus the outcome for the investor. They're two completely different things. They're completely disparate, right? So in my own example, right, the outcome for me was amazing, like life-changing amount of money that we got from the acquisition, from the sale of my previous company. For our investors, not huge, but again, returning capital to investors is a big thing, right? Like startup world, if you return capital, if you get a 2X, a 3X, that's fine. But starting out though, you're not looking, that's not the exit you're looking for as somebody investing into a company, especially a company that already has a fair amount of traction, a fair amount of revenue. I was hoping that conversation was going to go, we have this on the product roadmap, this on the product roadmap, this on the product roadmap, would build the revenue from the existing customers that we already have, which are pretty large customers. And we're going to expand the TAM and we're going to expand our revenue base to $300-400 million. Like that's what I wanted to hear, not we're going to go sell for this amount. Like I don't want that to be the exit strategy for a company that I'm investing in right now at my stage of life.
Greg, let me jump in here a little bit. So I wasn't an angel investor in your company, right? So if I recall correctly, I think I got something around a 2 to a 3X on my investment in your company. And I think that was over around like 12 months, which is a great return. The reason why I was excited by what you were doing is that you at least had a vision and a game plan to get to a multi-billion dollar company. And I think what was happening was that the market was shifting. There were unanticipated things that were going on that ultimately led you to make an intelligent decision to exit the company at a non-multi-billion dollar valuation, right? Like it was not lack of ambition that led you to go for your exit. It ended up being the smart decision to do. In retrospect, it was a smart
decision. It was reality, right?
It was reality.
But for sure.
There are some things that we can predict about the world and some things that we can't, right? And I think you approach the situation given with a set of assumptions that there's at least a shot to get an extremely large company put together here. And you were plowing forward and trying to get that. World shifted in some ways, made an intelligent change, still got a return on my investment that compared to the public markets was fantastic. I think everybody was happy all the way around. But the thing that like impressed me more about you than anything else is that you had the hunger and the drive to go after that big swing and weren't just like purposefully trying to get a single. You wanted a home run.
That's a great take, right? So when I was coming back literally from the bank and sending this wire, I was talking to the banker. He's like, what are you guys investing in? And I was like, I told him exactly what the company was doing. And he's like, well, what's a really good outcome for this? And I was like, 1,000X, right? Like that's the grand slam that you're looking for. You're not looking for a 5 or 10X. If that were the case, you might be able to do that in a different style investment over a 5 or 10 year period. That's a lot more liquid than a startup investment, right? Like you are putting your capital in and saying goodbye, likely forever, with the aim of hitting one or two of these grand slams in an entire career. If you get into a company that 1,000X's and you put 25,000 in, I mean, with dilution, you're hitting a $20 million exit potentially, like for yourself. For that small check that you wrote, that's what you're doing this for, is those outlier outcomes. I'm not looking for, like you said, the singles or the doubles. Like I'm looking for the founders that are saying, I'm going to take on the world. I'm going to go build the next Tesla, the next Airbnb, the next Uber. Like I don't want to put my capital into something that's, I'm going to build the next lifestyle business that's going to make me a crap ton of money as a founder. Like no offense, but that's not why I'm putting my own personal capital into something. And it's kind of up to you how you want to do it. But I'm really looking for those companies that are trying to swing for the fences. I don't want a bunt. I want somebody to take their swing. And if they miss, that's fine. But like, you can only lose one time your capital, right? You can only lose if you're putting a $25,000 check into a company, $25,000. Like I understand that going in. And I want you to say, I'm pointing at the center field line, right? I'm Babe Ruth. I'm saying I'm going to hit that home run. And if you don't, that's fine. But maybe you hit a triple. Maybe you do hit a double. Like I'm still fine with that as an outcome, but I don't want the ceiling of my investment to be 5 or 10X. I want the ceiling to be uncapped. Like if you go IPO and you keep growing post IPO, I'll keep my investment in there as long as you're growing, right? Like if you invested in Apple and you kept your stock until today, how much would that be worth versus if you sold at their IPO? Like, I don't have that exact number. Maybe we'll put it in post, but that's what you're looking for, are the people that have insane dreams and saying, hey, I can go compete against Google. Like, that's what you want.
So Greg, I do have one more hot take on this, and this is a topic we might want to get into in a future episode, but Greg, I'm very curious to get your take on this also. So when you invest in a startup, that money actually goes into the startup's bank account, and they're using it to fuel their growth, their vision, and whatever impact that they want to have on the world. I think the angel investing world is awesome because you're actually helping try to shape the future of the world, right? You want companies that are doing good things, positive things for the world, companies that you believe in their mission, right? And your capital is actually funding that growth and development. When you make an investment in a company like, let's say, Coca-Cola on the public markets, when you're giving that $25,000 over to get those shares of Coca-Cola stock, that $25,000 is not going into Coca-Cola's bank account. That money is going into somebody else's bank account that just has shares. Shares are just being traded around, and the company doesn't really get impacted very much by it. In the startup world, it's awesome because you're actually tangibly helping that company grow and develop and reach their mission. So if a company doesn't have an exciting mission, it's like, well then why are you supporting this company, right? That, like, the returns aside, you're actually helping a vision become a reality. So having that vision, I think, is just extremely important for any startup that's out there.
Yeah, and that the more pitches you take, the more you're going to realize that founders that have it really have it. And you can see that in their pitch, the way that they pitch you, the way that they talk about the future. It's like you can see the future that they're trying to make. And it's a beautiful world, right? Like, I mean, we took some startup pitches from some companies in YC that ultimately we didn't invest in. But they're building a world that I do want to see, right? Like, you know, one of them was a hydrogen electric propulsion system for airplanes. Like, right now, airplanes are a huge carbon emissions, like, insane polluter of the world. And this company is trying to completely turn that upside down. They're trying to make clean energy for airplanes. And they have such a passion for that project. And I can see them actually accomplishing it, right? In my mind, when I'm getting that pitch, I can say, I see the world that you are trying to build. And I really like the vision of it, right? Like, ultimately, and I hope they do, right? I hope that someday when I'm flying to Miami, Florida from New York, I hope that I take one of their airplanes that they built. Like, that's the goal of funding these startups, is to say, your vision is a vision that I can ultimately see as something that's going to better the world, A, and then B, also return a bunch of capital back to me, right? Like, you're not doing this for charity. You're doing this because you think that this company could potentially become that next big company. That's the reason you should do it. Like, you're not trying to just give your money away and say, hey, go build a world without me having any stake in the game. But that is the difference between a startup founder that is trying to completely change the way the world works versus I am found something here that's growing and I'm fine with having it grow to a certain extent and then selling it, which is, again, completely fine. That's the startup founder's prerogative. Like, that's completely fine. It's your company. You do whatever you want with it. But as an investor, I'm looking for the people that are trying to change the world and do it at a large, large, large scale, not a smaller scale.
Yeah. I would add one more topic on top of this, and that's this company that we talked to did have a lot of traction. They did have a lot of, you know, they're doing well, right? And I do think that that's important, that some entrepreneurs do have very grand and large visions, but they don't have the ability to execute on it. They don't have the track record of success. And it's like, when you have both of these coming together, that's when the magic happens. When you're lacking on either one of them, things can get pretty rocky. And I think that that's our job as investors when we're doing the due diligence. It's really figuring out, what is that vision? What is that track record? What are the evidence that the vision can actually become a reality and it's not just a vision? So it is kind of like a little bit of a balancing act, focusing on, you know, what is that history, that traction, as well as where is this ultimately going to go?
Yeah, this one almost feels like, honestly, kind of a safe bet, right? Like, you guys have an incredible amount of revenue. It's growing year over year. You definitely know how to execute. You know what you're doing. You know what you're building. You've built it well enough. You have customers that are not churning. But the problem is the vision piece, right? Like, yeah, I think that is an interesting kind of observation, is that you're looking for both. You're looking for the ability to execute at a very, very high level, but you're also looking for the vision of execution to be a grand vision, right? When that happens, you get an outcome like an Uber, or you get an outcome like a Facebook, where the vision is, we're going to take over the world and we can actually go out and do it. They can definitely go out and execute, but the problem is, I don't think the grand vision is necessarily there. And as an investor, that I'm looking for both.
Right. So a lot of times in some startup pitches, you might see this term called TAM. So we might want to explain what that means. That stands for total addressable market. That essentially means, in a perfect world, if this startup completely dominates the space that they're going after, how large of a business is this? How large of an industry are they really going after? And one thing that's a little bit annoying from some pitches, some entrepreneurs might say that, like, you know, our TAM is so large, and if we just get 1% of it, then we'll be this giant company. And this is where I think investors have to really do some interesting thinking here. On one hand, you do want a company that's going after a very large market, right? But then you also have to balance that with what is their ability to actually capture a reasonable market share of that market, right? If you know, Greg and I tomorrow decide to start an automobile company, and we're saying that this is like a $10 trillion industry, and if we just get 1% of it, we're going to be like a $10 billion company. Well, getting 1% of the auto business across the world is a difficult thing to do. I don't think either one of us has a track record to put together a company like that. But on the other hand, that is a really big vision to go after. So there at least is the runway for a really big return on your investment. So,
and actually, to put that in perspective, how much of market share has Tesla taken?
Ooh, very idea? Small. Very small.
Is it 1%?
Probably not even. Maybe right
yeah, around 1%. That's. I think that's what you have to keep in mind, right? Is like the scale of Tesla has not even taken a 1% market share in all of the auto industry. Mm-hmm. Like, that puts into perspective when somebody says that is, oh, like, hey, we're going to take 1% of the, you know, apparel industry. It's like, that's a great grand vision. How are you going to get to that? Mm-hmm. Like, if Tesla can't even take a 1% market share of an industry that, honestly, they're dominating in terms of EV sales.
Correction, Tesla has over 2% market share.
It's difficult for you to be like, yeah, that's definitely. Actually, we should have an episode on TAM, how to calculate TAM, top down, bottoms up, TAM discussions. But I think that's a good point, too, is, you know, you do want an industry that is large, but you can also think about the industry as being a relatively small TAM. But if you can go into adjacent markets and grow that TAM in the future, that's another interesting thing to think about. So the company that I invested in today, their TAM right now is, I mean, it's huge still because it's a gigantic industry. It's within the pharmaceutical industry, but their platform is one thing. And then the next step for them is another thing that opens up their TAM to not just be like potentially $1 billion, a $10 billion company, but potentially $100 billion company. Like, that's what you ultimately want to see also with these startup pitches is, here's the thing that we're starting with. We're going to execute our butts off on doing this one thing. And then once we get to scale, we can open up this entirely different adjacent market that opens the TAM up to this gigantic amount of potential kind of revenue that you can bring through the door, because it's all about kind of what revenue of that market can you bring into your own coffers, right? It's not about, we have a gigantic TAM. That doesn't matter if you don't have an idea of how to get some of that revenue from incumbents in the space to you, because it doesn't matter if you can't do that.
Right. So let's talk about a vision that I think was very interesting. And that this goes back to, Greg, your company, FlipMD, right? What your company was essentially a job board for physicians, right? And that's an interesting niche to start with. And I think if like you could do incredibly well with that, there was no reason to think that you couldn't take that international, that you could build a version of this for accountants or lawyers or firefighters, or just scale it across an entire other adjacent industries to grow a larger and larger company.
even if you just took physicians still, right? So we had a vision for how the platform would ultimately change and grow. Because once you get to a certain point of a number of physicians on a platform, it becomes a little bit more valuable. It becomes a little bit easier. It's a little bit of the network effects that you're looking for. You can then go into adjacent things. So we started with literally just side gigs, right? So there's a lot of companies that are doing it now. One that just came out, which is really interesting. We could talk about it in another episode. But really, it's almost like a consulting marketplace for physicians where they can find these jobs by different random companies that are looking for medical expertise that's non-clinical. So we're not doing telehealth. But with just that platform, you can think about expanding into different segments of the physician world that you can attack in different ways. So the ultimate vision before I left was, okay, you have this side gigs community where you're bringing in jobs for physicians to take at anywhere from $250 to $1,500 an hour, which is great for them. That's non-clinical. It's relatively easy to do. You can do it in the car. Sometimes it's just conversations. And then you grow it into, okay, how do you attack the physician recruiting industry, which is a little bit backwards, where some companies will take 30% of a first year salary for an attending by placing them into different institutions. We had an idea for that, right? And then the other idea was, how do you go after market research where you can automate that process? And those three things grew the TAM to a really large number. The problem is, we didn't raise a bunch of capital. I was still in clinical medicine. And now that vision is a little bit different now that it's a part of a public company that I don't have any say in anymore. But we had this vision of the ways that you grow that TAM by joining into or going into adjacent markets that you can use your initial user base in to disrupt other different industries within one bigger industry. Anyways, but yeah, that's what you want to see from a startup is like, we have this initial idea. This is the initial wedge that we're going after. And then these are the other things that we can do in the future that can grow the TAM exponentially. Thanks for joining the Physician Syndicate podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. As always, we'd like to remind you that the information and opinions expressed on this podcast are for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as financial or investment advice. Before making any investment decisions, we strongly recommend that you consult with your lawyer, tax professional, and financial planner. Keep in mind that investing in startups can be extremely risky, and there's a potential for loss of your entire investment. Remember to always conduct thorough research and consider your risk tolerance before making any financial decisions. Stay informed, and we look forward to having you join us on our next episode of the Physician Syndicate podcast.